Amen. Luke chapter number 2 this morning. Luke chapter number 2. I'm thankful that we're not in it alone. Amen. And I know a lot of times we hear preaching that God's a mean God and He's just up there in heaven waiting to hit you upside the head every time you do something wrong. Listen to me. That's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is for you. In fact, He's given us so many things to help us. He's given us the Comforter. He's given us His Word. He's given us a church. He's given us godly people to encourage us along the journey. And God's not waiting for you to mess up. He's for you. He's rooting for you. We're on His team. And so I'm thankful that that's the true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Luke chapter number 2. When you get there, if you'll stand in honor, reverence of the Word of God, we've been dealing with, started last week, a series on Christmas characters, the characters of Christmas. I want to look at another one. Last week we looked at Zechariah and Elizabeth, and today I want to look at a woman by the name of Anna. Luke chapter number 2, if you look with me in verse number 21, the Bible says this, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus." So this was 8 days after the birth of Jesus, "which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother Mary marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Lord, we love you today. Lord, I'm thankful to be in your house. Lord, I ask God that you just meet with us. Lord, I understand, Lord, it's raining. God, we thank you for the rain. Lord, we understand the Bible is a sign of blessing. Lord, I ask God that you would just help us today, Lord, to get something from your word as we depart today, that we'd be challenged, convicted, Lord, but better, overall better Christians. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. In a heavily populated world, it's really easy to underestimate the significance of just one person. In fact, you look across the world, there are so many people with so many different gifts and so many different talents, and sometimes we almost, if we're not careful, we'll get into the mentality that, well, I'm not important, I'm not needed, who needs me, and what can I do as one individual contribute to the overwhelming needs of the world, especially within the church and the gospel. But the truth is, you are you. And there will never be another you. There's only one like you, and that's you yourself. You are the only you in all the world. And nobody can do what God has called you and gifted you to do. Edward Everett Hale puts it this way. He said, I am the only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do. You realize in 1654, it was only one vote that gave Oliver Cromwell control over England. In 1649, it was one vote that caused Charles I of England to be executed. Do you realize that in 1776, that date may sound familiar to you, in 1776, it was one vote that gave America the English language instead of a German language. In 1839, it was one vote that elected Marcus Morton governor of Massachusetts. In 1845, it was just one vote that brought Texas into the Union. In 1868, it was just one vote that saved President Andrew Johnson from impeachment. In 1875, it was just one vote that changed France from a monarchy to a republic. In 1876, one vote gave Rutherford B. Hayes the United States presidency. In 1923, one vote gave Adolf Hitler control of the Nazi Party. In 1941, one vote saved the selective service system. That's what we would know as the draft. One vote saved the selective service system just 12 weeks prior to Pearl Harbor happening. You know, when I read the Bible, when I go through God's Word, I really don't find great crusades, citywide revivals, and mass meetings where God's attention rested on a group of people. But what I do find as I go throughout the pages of Scripture, I typically find one or two dedicated people who had a massive impact for the cause of Christ. The reason is because it's God's power through you, through one person. More often than not, I find individual men and women who make differences from Genesis to Revelation. We see God's hand in the lives of individuals. In fact, as you study your Bible, you'll see that the Bible centers on individual people and God gives them power to do great and mighty things. All the way throughout the Bible, they did wonderful things with God's power. And when you come to verse 36, the Bible's going to let us in on a little widow lady by the name of Anna. In fact, there's really nobody like Anna, because the Bible tells us in verse number 36 that she was one. The Bible says, and there was one. That means there was nobody like her. And I begin to ask myself, why does the Bible say that there is one? And I believe the Bible answers that question when you look with me in verse number 36. It says that there was one Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and she lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. You're going to notice in the text, it says that she's out of the tribe. Now, the New Testament says A-S-E-R, but we know from the Old Testament, it's the tribe of Asher. That's where she's come out of. Asher is one of the sons of Jacob in the Old Testament. Now, I just want to tell you, I'm going to give you a little bit of an introduction and then a quick sermon out of that introduction will be done. But I got to give you the context. She's out of the tribe of Asher. She's not really significant according to our eyes, but as you begin to dig in the text, the Bible says there's one. She's out of the tribe of Asher. In fact, if you were to, you don't have to go there. They've got the passage up on the screen in Genesis 49. The Bible says, out of Asher, his bread shall be fat and he shall yield royal dainties. Now, there's not a lot there concerning Asher, but if you were to go to Deuteronomy chapter number 33, they'll put the passage on the screen. Deuteronomy 33, verse 24, it says, and of Asher, remember, this is where Anna come from, and of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. Let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and thy days, so shall thy strength be. When I study the tribe of Asher, that's where little Anna come from in the New Testament. There's a couple things that the Bible tells us about the tribe of Asher. The first thing is this. It tells us that Asher will be an abundant tribe. They'll be an abundant tribe. Look with me, or actually look on the screen if you don't want to turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 33:24, it tells us this. It says, Asher will be blessed with children. You know, really, when Asher settles down in the land of Canaan, you're going to find that they were blessed with about 53,400 and some people when it was all said and done. I don't know about you, but that's a lot of descendants out of one man that come. And it holds to the fact that Asher would be an abundant tribe. They were blessed with children. But not only was the tribe of Asher an abundant tribe, but also Asher will be what I call an acceptable tribe. Deuteronomy in 33 and verse number 24, it tells us, let him be acceptable to his brethren. Acceptable to his brethren. You know, I tried my best to figure out what the word acceptable means, and it simply means this. It obviously means accepting, but it carries the idea that you can get along with people. Now, that ought to be really good in our Baptist churches, amen? We ought to be acceptable. Is the idea to be able to get along with people. If you say, preacher, what do you mean? If you remember back to Jacob's children, Jacob had children from two women. In fact, it was from Leah and Rachel. And there were two lines, if you will. Leah had Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, and Issachar. And Rachel, you've got Dan, Naphtali, Joseph, and Benjamin. And because of that, there's always been conflict between the two lines, the two different tribes, or excuse me, the descendants from the two individual women. And when you come, when you're going to find when this nation, as they begin to form this conflict, you'll study how two lions camped in the wilderness after they exited out of Egypt in Numbers chapter number 2. And Kevin, do me a favor and throw up that picture. I tried to put it in here, and I know it may be hard because the font's really small. But if you'll notice, you're going to find Benjamin, Manasseh, Ephraim, Gad, Simeon, Reuben, Zebulun, Issachar, and Judah. Now you have to understand, on those little three blocks, none of those lines are mixed up. In fact, if you study all three blocks on each side, they all come from one individual, either Rachel or Leah. So they were not against each other. But if you actually look at the top, you're going to find that Asher and Naphtali come from somebody, and then Dan came from somebody, either came from Rachel or Leah. So could it be that Asher was acceptable because they had to camp beside each other, that was the tribe that was acceptable and that got along with people? Asher is the only tribe that camped with the other side of the family. And it lets us know that Asher probably just knew how to get along. And y'all stay with me, I'm going somewhere. And they knew how to get along with people. They were acceptable with their brethren. And by the way, this can be a good thing or a bad thing. Romans 12:18 says, if it be possible, as much lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. We ought to be able to get along with people. But if you're not careful, you can go to the other extreme of 1 John 2:15, where it says, love not the world, neither the things in the world. If we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. But there ought to be something inside of us that can get along with people. So as we study how Anna is from the tribe of Asher, we find that Asher was an abundant tribe. Asher was an acceptable tribe. But then also Asher was an affluent tribe. Look again on the screen. Deuteronomy 33 says this, let him dip his foot in oil, and thy shoes shall be iron and brass. Our text back in Genesis, I remind you, says, out of Asher his bread shall be fat and shall yield royal dainties. When you come to Deuteronomy, we see the word olive oil, iron, and brass. You're going to find that the tribe of Asher, in other words, is this. They were very wealthy. They weren't hurting for money. They were not hurting for resources. They were affluent. They were wealthy. You're going to find that the tribe was blessed with children. They were abundant. They were acceptable. They got along. They were affluent. They were rich in resources. But also, if you notice, the Old Testament tells us that Asher will be what I call an ailing tribe. Deuteronomy 33:25 says this, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. In other words, I say it like this, what you do with today will affect your tomorrow. Just because they were like that then did not mean they were going to be like that in the future. In fact, we see the biblical principle that whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And you know what I found the tribe of Asher has? They've got everything we want. They've got everything we think that we need to get along in this world. They've got money. They've got a great family. They get along with people. By the way, there's nothing wrong with wanting those things. But I come to find out that Asher is a failing tribe. They failed. You say, preacher, how do you know that? You can write this reference down. Judges chapter number 1, verse number 31. It tells us, neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Acho, nor the inhabitants of Zidon, nor of Alab, nor of Achzib, nor of Heblah, nor of Aphlik, nor of Rehob. But Judges 1:32 says, but the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Listen, you studied the Old Testament, you know that when they were to go into the promised land, they're supposed to drive out those wicked, idolatrous people. But instead of the tribe of Asher doing that, the Bible says instead of getting rid of them, in fact, they dwelt with them. They commingled with them, and it got them in trouble. And they failed. You'll find out that as you study, you continue to study the tribe of Asher, you'll find that there was never a prophet. Nothing ever great come out of the tribe of Asher. They failed because they did not listen to God. But when you come to the New Testament, you're going to find that the Bible says, but wait a minute, there was one. So you got a tribe that had everything they ever asked for. But then when they failed to do what God told them to do, they commingled with the Canaanites. Instead of driving them out, they failed. Nobody great would ever come out of the tribe of Asher. But when you get to Luke chapter number 2, the Bible tells us, but wait a minute, there was one. I believe today that we found a hero, the one. When nobody else come out of the tribe of Asher, when nobody else stood out, when nobody else took the lead, when nobody else was conquering, we find somebody out of the tribe of Asher that we see in Luke chapter number 2. And can I just call time out and say, listen, I don't care what your family history is. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what your educational system is. I don't care what kind of government you grew up. It all could have been wicked. It all could have been bad. It all could have been horrible. But that does not define who you are as an individual. Asher was wicked. They messed up. But yet, we see Anna. Here in Luke chapter number 2, she stands out in the text. The Holy Spirit highlights her name in the Scriptures. She was one. We look around in society today, nobody wants to stand out. Nobody wants to be different. Everybody wants to blend in. Everybody wants to have it easy. Everybody just wants to slip by. But can I tell you this morning that God is looking for somebody to be like Anna? So God is looking for somebody to stand out in a society of wickedness, in a dark, sinful world that would say, you know what? I know what my family is and I know what my society is, but if there's going to be one, I want to be that one. I want to be like Anna. When nobody else will stand, you realize that God is looking for somebody that say, you know what? I'll stand. Listen to me, young people. Nobody wants to stand up in your school. You ought to say, by the grace of God, I'll be that one. Nobody wants to stand up in your family. You say, you know what? By the grace of God, I'm going to be the one that stands up in the family. In my workplace, it's a bunch of wickedness and nobody's going to stand up. But you know what? I'm going to stand up in the workplace. Anna. You know, when I look at Anna's life, you can go, if you're in Luke chapter number 2, when I look at her life, she actually got some things that the tribe of Asher didn't get. And in fact, Anna was abundant herself. Now you understand that she didn't have children. The Bible says that she didn't have children. But Luke 2:38, the Bible tells us, and she coming in at that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She's not abundantly blessed with children, but she got abundantly blessed by a child. She's on her way to the temple. She comes inside and they're praising the Lord. And she likewise, that means she joined into the praising. She spoke to everyone who looked for Him. In other words, she was unable to be blessed by children. But when she got to the child, or the temple, there was a child that actually blessed her. And the Bible says that she praised and she began to tell other people about Him. Not only was Anna abundant, but she was affluent. Not in worldly riches. But you look with me in verse number 36. The Bible says, and there was one Anna, watch this, a prophetess. That word prophetess is only mentioned two times in your New Testament. The only other time you're going to find it is the wicked prophetess Jezebel in the book of Revelation. This word prophetess translated as a teacher. She knew God. She knew something about God. She knew enough about God where she could speak to others about God. People would come to her. They would gather around and she would teach them about the things of God. She was affluent in spiritual riches. Listen, she was a widow. In her day, that means she was poor. She was impoverished. She didn't have a lot. But can I tell you what she did have? She had a lot of spiritual riches in her life that she was able to share with other people. And listen, you may not have a lot today. You may not have all the riches of this world. But can I tell you some things you do, God? You've got a God in heaven that loves you. You've got a Holy Spirit inside of you. You've got God's Word to read. You've got a church. You've got a family. You've got a lot more spiritual blessings than what you think you got. You may not have everything this world has, and that's all right. She didn't either, but she had some spiritual blessings. She was a prophetess. She was also acceptable to her brethren. Verse 38 says, she spake of him to all them that looked for redemption of Jerusalem. Apparently, everywhere she went, she spoke about the Redeemer. Everywhere she went, hey, let me tell you about the Messiah. But you know, just as the tribe of Asher was ailing, they failed. Anna was not failing. She was not ailing. See, you remember back in Deuteronomy, that phrase when it talked about the days of Asher, the tribe of Asher, it says, as thy days show, so shall thy strength be. What was Anna doing with her days? Well, we find it in verse number 37. What's Anna been doing in her life? Notice what it says in verse number 37. And she was a widow about 84 years, notice this phrase, which departed not from the temple. In other words, I believe this, and if you continue to serve God with fastings, prayer, night and day, what has Anna been doing all her days? She's been serving God with everything that she has. And I could be wrong. If my math is right, I believe that Anna is about 100 years old. And guess where she's at? She's in the house of God. She's still serving. Now, I'm gonna say something, and this probably won't set well with some people. But just because you're old doesn't mean you get an excuse not to come to church. And I know there's legitimate needs, there's legitimate shut-ins, there's legitimate health problems, but the problem I have is if you refuse not to go to church because you're old, but yet you get a Golden Corral and you go to Walmart to get your groceries. Somebody help me preach this morning. I'm not being mad. All I'm saying is she's 100 years old and she's fasting and every day she's going to the temple. I don't know about you, but Anna is faithful. Man, I love... God help us to even live to 85 and say, man, as long as our health allows, please understand what I'm saying, but as long as we're able, that we were faithful to the house of God, faithful to Him. She's over 100 years old. She's serving God every day in the temple. And can I just throw this little nugget out there? Don't listen to the crowd that says you're going to wear your kids out by bringing them to church. Crowd says, well, you're going to burn your kids out. Listen, Anna don't seem burned out to me. Looks like she's still going strong to me. Over 100 years old, she's still down at the house of God. Doesn't look like being faithful to God hurt her, but it helped her. Didn't make her life short, but in fact, it made it long. Listen, I understand we got to be careful about not burning out, but I find more people are jumping out. They're falling out. They're being taken out by the devil or some other person. They used to be on fire for God, but they're not anymore. But Anna is doing pretty good for 100 years old. She's still on fire. And can I tell you today, God's looking for an Anna. God's looking for somebody who just stay faithful. Stay in the fight. Don't give up. Don't quit. Anna, I know what your background is. I know what tribe you come from. And nothing good come out of all that nonsense. But you made it. Can I tell this? Your circumstances don't define who you are. Your family situation doesn't define who you are. You can be an Anna. Let me give you 4 points and we'll be done. That was my long introduction. 4 points very quickly. We're going to go. You ready? How do I be an Anna? How do I be an Anna? Number one, you have to be an Anna in a dark society. A dark society. Look, I'm going to give you a refresher. Jump with me one page back. Go to chapter number one and go to verse number 16. Chapter one, verse 16. Maybe this may ring a bell for you from last week. And remember, this is God dealing with Zechariah. Remember when Zechariah prayed? He'd been praying for a child, and God tells Zechariah he's going to have a child, but he got a lot more than what he asked for. Y'all remember that? Man, you're going to get a lot more, Zechariah, than what you asked for. Look at, remember what he got? Look with me in verse number 16. He said, and many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God. So we understand this, that last week when God was dealing with Zechariah, he's going to have a child, this is John the Baptist, and he's going to have more than a child. He's going to have all these wonderful things that he didn't ask for. And he says this, he says, your son, John the Baptist, is going to turn many people back to God. But we have to ask ourselves, wait a minute. If he's going to turn many people back to God, that tells me right now there's not a lot of people on fire for God. That means right now it's dark. That means right now society isn't looking good. If people's got to be turned back to God, where are they right now? They're not towards God. They're not with God. They're not on fire, God. And you need to understand that the average Jew of the day didn't serve God. They just didn't. The average Hebrew didn't serve God in that day. You remember 400 years of silence has went by. God hasn't spoken through a priest. The religious sect is dark. The religious leaders, as we had mentioned, the Pharisees come on scene, as we mentioned last week. Jump over one chapter, two chapters forward. Go to Luke chapter number 3. Let's see how the priests and the religious leaders are doing of their day. Well, if anybody ought to be holy, it should be them. Let's see in Luke chapter number 3, in look with me to verse number 7. Then he said to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, watch this, all generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham our father, for I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. In other words, I say like this. You say, preacher, how do you know the society is dark? Well, I'll tell you why. Because when the religious people come to see what John was doing at the baptismal, he calls them a bunch of snakes. We already mentioned last week. Listen, it's dark. It's dark. And I said all that to say this, is that Anna was serving in a dark society. Remember, the politicians are crooked. The religious leaders are crooked. Majority are lost. And they're not serving God. Listen, she served God in that type of... Y'all, we gotta quit with the whole, well, preacher, it's bad. It's real bad out there. It's real dark. You don't understand what I go through at work. No, I don't understand. But can I tell you, in a whole world of darkness, there was one person that stood out, and it was Anna. And can I tell you, we can still stand out today. You may not have everybody. You may not be a big group. But if you're going to be that one, you got to realize, hey, I'm going to be one in a dark society. Newsflash, the world ain't getting any better. It's only going to get darker. But in the darkness, that's where we shine. If you're going to be the one, you need to understand you're going to do it in a dark society. But number two, you're going to be that one. You may have to do it in deep sorrow. Deep sorrow. You said, preacher, what do you mean by that? Look with me in Luke 2, verse number 36. I'm almost done. Luke 2, verse 36. And there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. Here's a Jewish young lady who was probably married between the ages of 13 and 15, she was only married for 7 years and God took her husband. You think of it, at that young age, she probably could have said, God, that's not fair. God is cruel. I'm done with God. I've been around some people who've quit because of something that's happened in their life. But then I've also, thank God, met some people who's kept going despite the tragedy that they've been through. Can I just prep you for something? When God uses you, sometimes He's going to break you. It is what it is. But in that, He's going to mold you to what He'd have you to be. She lost her husband. Only 7 years, God took her husband. Instead of being angry, instead of playing the victim, instead of playing, oh, woe is me, I'm not going to do any of this stuff. No, she's still 100 years old. She's still going to the house of God. She's still fasting. She's still serving. She's still waiting on Jesus. Can I tell you, what an example Anna is to us today. What an example. She used her deep sorrow. And she kept going. Can I tell you today, I don't know what you're going through and I don't know what you've been through. But can I, don't quit. God's going to use it for His glory. He's going to mold you and make you what He have you to be. Anna said, well, I don't have a husband anymore. So she just loves the Lord. In fact, she don't have a house to keep anymore, so she just stays at the house of God. Night and day. I tell you, I don't know about you, but I want what Anna had. I want to be that one. If you're going to serve, if you're going to be the one, if you're going to be like Anna, you have to do it in dark society. You may have to do it through deep sorrow, but then also I see daily service. She's 100 years old. In fact, actually, I think she's about 104 years old. Can I ask you a question? How many of y'all think that she's tired? I probably would imagine she's tired. 104 years old, and she's serving. Her body's weary, but she's there daily. Look with me, verse 37. She was a widow about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Daily. She's tired, her body's weary, but every day she's there. The Bible tells us she departed not. I believe she was there every time the doors were open. You know, when you look, we read about Simeon. Simeon had the Holy Spirit. Simeon had all these wonderful things. The Holy Ghost came upon him. He had a special revelation. He said, listen, you're not going to die until you see God. He had all these wonderful things. But you know what? Anna didn't have any of those things. But yet she was there. None of those things were said about Anna. No special revelation, no Holy Spirit leading. She was there because she was faithful. She was always there looking for Jesus. Can I tell you, that's exactly what Christianity is. It's consistently looking for Jesus. That's all it is. It's consistent. She's there night and day looking for Jesus. So she plants herself in the house of God. Why is she there? She's looking for redemption. Can I tell you, she was a student of the Word of God. She knew. She plants herself in the Bible. So can I tell you, if you're going to be like Anna, listen, you're going to do it in a dark society. You may have to do it through deep sorrow. There's daily service. But then number four, I give you this, we'll be done. There's a delightful sight. You say, preacher, what do you mean? She got to see Jesus. Notice verse number 38. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption to Jerusalem. In other words, let me break it down for you, Philip Johnson. So, you go in there, and mamas, I don't know how y'all feel about this, but you gotta thank Joseph and Mary's bringing little 8-day-old Jesus, and old Simeon just snatches Him up. And holds him up. I know some of you mamas, you think, oh, you know, he's got all this disease and RSV. Don't be touching my baby. What are you doing? But man, that dude just snatches up little baby Jesus. He's throwing him. Praise God. And Anna sees it. And the Bible says she leaves the temple and she goes out and she starts telling everybody who's looking for the Redeemer that He's come. She got to see the Lord Jesus. And here's what I believe. We serve Him in a dark society. We may go through deep sorrow. We have daily service. But can I tell you, one of the greatest things of all that is that we get to see Jesus. You say, preacher, I understand what you're saying. Listen, we don't physically see Him. But can I tell you, when I open up the Word of God, the Holy Spirit begins to deal with my heart. And if that ain't good enough for you, there is one day when your physical eyes will lay on the physical glorious body of Jesus Christ. And I guarantee you, you'll be glad you didn't quit. You'll be glad you didn't let the dark society dictate. You'll be glad that you didn't give up after that deep sorrow. You'll be thankful that you served Him. Because one day you'll see a delightful Jesus Christ. To hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I think of the hymn writers said this. He said, sometimes the day seems long. Our trial is hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch His bride away. All tears forever over. in God's eternal day. You know, the Bible says this in Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Miss Lisa, you help me out. Brother Travis, you help me out. Now I want to ask you this question. Last week we learned that God did the impossible through a man by the name of Zechariah.